This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, preventing summer parasites, an award-winning pet fashionista, and saving pets from natural disasters. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydivashow@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosuds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Dog Diva Show. We're here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. Now, Monica, we're into summer, and summer is like big parasite time. I mean, it's great to have the best kind of prevention for our fur kids. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
So, down in Florida where we are, prevention is all year round. I know up north some states do it, you know, certain times of the year and certain ones off. But generally summertime is every state everywhere. You need some kind of prevention. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the preventions and why they are so important. There is a great resource online and it's called the CAPC, which is the Companion Animal Parasite Council. And their job is to do all these studies. Part of their job is to educate us by, you know, doing all these studies on what geographic areas are having the biggest issues as far as parasites and keeping our pets parasite free. There's different types of parasites and they can attract them and get parasites from different mediums. For example, the number one parasite out there that is of major concern is heartworms. Heartworms was something that was very, very, very big years ago, and people got on the prevention, and it wasn't as common for all these dogs to be coming down with heartworms. However, somewhere along the line, people have stopped remembering to do the prevention, or it wasn't talked to them at some point about the prevention, or they just simply haven't realize the importance of it or where they come from. But heartworms is, you know, a definite major thing that your pet needs to be on all the time. Heartworms come from mosquitoes. So you have a mosquito that carries the heartworm virus. They take a blood meal from your pet and your pet now has heartworms. Heartworm treatment is gotten safer over the years. However, it still takes a toll on your pet, and having heartworms and contracting heartworms, and even if you get it quickly, it's very, very pricey to treat, and it can take years off your pet's lifespan. So prevention is key here. They have an injection you can do now for heartworms again that lasts for 6 months. So you're just doing one little shot every 6 months. Easy peasy. Done. You don't have to worry about it. They have the monthly heartworm preventions. They have some that are topical, some that are oral. It's really what's going to be easiest for you. So when you go to your vet and you have the discussion, you know, pick the one that is by far the easiest for you to do, because if it's a pain, you're not going to do it. It's not going to be remembered. So whatever is best and easiest for your family is the way to go. Another parasite that, you know, becomes an issue during these summer months are our fleas and our ticks. Ticks are hard to kill. They're hard to prevent. And they can cause a lot of disease. Lyme's disease, anaplasmosis, or ehrlichiosis. There's lots of things that different types of ticks can give to your pet. That is why a lot of veterinary offices, I know the majority, when they test your pet once a year for heartworms, it's a lot of them are doing their 4-base test. So they have like a 4-flex or a 4DX is what they're called. But it tests for tick-borne diseases such as Lyme and ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis, as well as your heartworms, which is great because it's giving you that extra kind of look. But like I said, ticks can be hard to treat. So getting on a good prevention for that is key. When you look at getting infestations for these things, fleas and tick infestations are hard to get rid of. It's timely to get rid of. It's a lot of work. It's so much easier just to do the prevention. Keep your pets safe, and then you don't have to go through the hassle of bombing your house and having people coming out and spraying your yards. And it just becomes a huge time-consuming and costly process to solve the problem once you have the problem, as opposed to what you're going to spend in the ease of just using the prevention. Another thing that is important to look at when you talk about parasites is your internal parasites. So a lot of people, when they think their heartworm medication, they just think heartworms. The majority of the heartworm preventions that you give also treat for internal parasites, which are huge. Most internal parasites, a lot of times you're getting from soil, things of that nature. But those are like roundworms, whipworms, hookworms, all things that can cause issues in your pet. So it's definitely, you know, important to stay on your prevention every month. Make sure you have a good heartworm prevention that accompanies your internal parasites, as well as a flea and tick medication. Like I said, some can be combined into one prevention. Others, you know, are separated out, just making sure that you cover everything. And the CAPC, when you go to their website, they have specific regions. So you can go on to your state, and then you can go on to your county. And they have it broken down for all the counties as well. And you can look up in there, you know, how many tick-related illnesses they're, you know, coming down with and they're diagnosing in your area, how many heartworm cases they're diagnosing each and every month. It's a great resource. And that way you can see how much of a prevalence you have in your area for each item.
Thank you very much, Monica. It's really important that in parasites that it's parasite prevention, and the CAPC is so very, it's like helps you regionally to find out what's in your area. So go to CAPCvet.org. And Monica, thank you for this great information.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Coming up, award-winning pet fashionista Lauren Darr tells us about her latest projects. Stay with us.
Hey there, pet parents. Michelle Fern here. You know, as busy pet parents, we often forget about our own needs. And, you know, we need to take care of ourselves so we can reach our goals and make our lives that much more fulfilling. Well, there's something that is there to make it better for you, and that's called BetterHelp Online Counseling. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, and it's super convenient. You can use desktop, you can use mobile device, and it's iPhone and Android friendly. You can also use a video session, you can use chat or text, whatever you choose. They hook you up with one of their many counselors. They have over 3,000 licensed therapists across the United States. These licensed professionals specialize in depression, anger, family conflict, anxiety, insomnia, trauma, grief. They cover everything. Now, Pet Life Radio has a special discount for you. You'll save 10% off your first month with the discount code PETLIFE. Go ahead and connect with BetterHelp.com and start making your life even that much better.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Since she was a young girl, Lauren Dara has been owned by pugs since her first pug rescue of White Pines Tootie, who happened to be the inspiration for the launch in 2013 of the Pet Fashion Guild, and was Lauren's inspiration for her gorgeous book, Lipstick on a Pug, which won the Dog Writers Association Maxwell Medallion for the 2015 Children's Book of the Year. Well, let's just say pugs have been a part of Lauren's life for a long time. And her publishing imprint, Left Paw Press, has printed numerous books on pet fashion, pug children's books, medical, racing, and the Possum Pug Della coloring book. One of my favorites, helps you get into a Zen moment, which was also a Maxwell Award winner. Lauren's been named Power Woman of the Year by Fido's reality blog and was a 2015 and 16 finalist for the Pet Industry Woman of the Year. And in 2018, Pet Age named Lauren a Woman of Influence. And on top of all that, Lauren's life is totally full, amazingly busy with her husband, and of course, the talented young race car driver, Zachary, and their pet passion. I'm going to say she's a pit pet fashionista, and that would be their beautiful pug, Bella. So I want to proudly welcome back Lauren Dar. Hey, Lauren, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So good. It's so good to have you back. To start it off with, you did a beautiful children's book on Pug Bella, the pit pet fashionista. So can you just tell us a little bit about that? She looks adorable, by the way, not only on the cover, but throughout the book. Totally a fashionista.
She totally is. Bella is our pug that goes to the racetrack with us on a pretty regular basis. There are sometimes that, you know, if it's too hot or humid, we don't take her, but happened to go a few years ago when the pet sitter couldn't watch her and became an attraction in the pit, and we put a tutu on her one time, and people kept coming around, and they started saying, hey, I'm here to see Bella, instead of coming to get an autograph from Zachary, which was kind of funny. And so we thought, hey, and she loved it. She loves being with the family. She prefers that than staying at home alone. And so it really is written from her perspective. I was basically her editor. It was written from her perspective of starting out going to the racetrack and how she actually became to be called the Pit Pet Fashionista, because she was actually in Speedweight Illustrated magazine one time as the Pit Pet of the Month.
I think that's plus she's been in a couple of other magazines too, right?
Yeah, she's been in Dogster and AKC Family Dog. She gets around.
She's got it going, man. And also, she is like a big part of like Zachary and his racing, because her colors match Zachary's cars. She has her own little car. So like she's like happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first photo shoot we did with her, I found a car and painted it and had the decals made to match his race car. That was, oh, goodness, probably 6-ish years ago. And so then when he graduated to driving the full-size car, and that year he had a black car, of course, we got her one. And so when he changes his race suit each year, we also have a tutu made that matches his race suit. So she has one now. And I've been in the process of trying to find a car right now that I can, you know, put the decals on and make it look like his current race car. So, you know, I'm a little bit behind on that.
Well, I think that she's got, you have a lot going on and she has a lot going on. And you know what I love, like you said, the book's done from her perspective, but it's, you know, her perspective of what's going on at the racetrack and all of the people. She's kind of a people watcher. She loves being mingling with the people. And also you could tell she's kind of like Zachary's partner in crime because they go through the book together and it's a really lovely book, really inspiring and good for children to read. You know, it has a really positive message. And plus, it's cute. The illustrations are adorable. So I highly recommend it. You know, Miss Olive, she has three paws, but she's given four paws up because she only has three little legs. But she's going, my sister Bella is awesomely possum. So loves it.
Well, good. I appreciate that. It was the first time that I'd written something from the dog's perspective, and so it was a new fun adventure for me and Bella.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, it was very successful, and I love it, love it, love it. Now, let's go off kind of like in a different direction, because also while you were writing these children's books that I love, you did the Dog Breeds Pet Fashion Illustration Encyclopedia. And I happen to have the toy breed in front of me, which has my little Italian greyhounds and also my little Chihuahua in it. And I have to tell you, it's breathtaking. It is absolutely beautiful. It took me back to a time when, you know, I had these encyclopedias that had these beautiful colors and beautiful, it was just gorgeous. And it was something that I read all the time. I went through all of this and the work that you put into it is, I am just like in awe. This is so beautiful. And I think that anyone who's a pet lover, anyone who wants to get into fashion, you're very descriptive in how you go through this. And it also comes with a companion coloring book. But I wanted to tell the listeners a little bit about this because this is something that I think that everyone's going to want to have in their library.
Oh, well, thanks. It's a 7-book set for the hardcover encyclopedia books, and then there are the 7 coloring companion books with each of those. So there were 14 books in total, and it took me over 5 years to put this together. Uh-huh. There's over 400 illustrations across the set of books. So when you go into fashion school, they basically, you know, they want to teach you illustrations. That's one of those things you need to learn, and that's kind of how this germinated. And they go find your muse, and you need to find the dog or any pet, but in this case dogs, in a couple specific poses, one with the back and one with the side, because that's how your design will be best seen. And that was not easy. So you know, while I'm sitting there at FIP taking notes, I thought, why isn't there a resource for this? And so it kind of started out that way, and then I went down the path of, well, there's a lot of things to consider when you're designing for a dog. You know, the thickness of their coat, how much do they shed, because we all know there's some fabrics that just, you know, attract it. The dog hair is like Velcro, and you want to avoid those. Their size and their activity level. So I just kind of went down this rabbit hole and decided to include rating scales and do a write-up of design considerations for each specific breed. So there's over 200 breeds across the 7 groups that have the design considerations, the rating scales, and the illustrations.
Well, and I just want everyone to know that you had completed the pet fashion certification from FIT in Fashion Institute of Technology in New York. So, you know how to walk the walk and talk the talk. You definitely... This book is coming from a professional perspective, the way it was done. And anyone who's looking to make clothes, do anything, accessorize, you went through everything. Like you said, you showed what the activity level is, the thickness of the coat, the shedding scale, the size, you know, how best to size, you know, and again, I have an Italian greyhound, 2 Italian greyhounds and a Chihuahua. And it was very precise the way that you talked about, like the way the body's made up, and it was very educational for me, But I know there's a specific way, a recommendation on how to use the book. So could you just let everyone know what is the best way to use this book?
Sure. If you're someone that wants to design for a specific breed, I would say go get, even though I'd love people to buy the whole set, go get the particular group that has that breed in it and look at those specific design considerations, because it is for each specific breed. It's one of those projects where you think, you know, why did I start this when you're in the middle of it?
Well, I could tell it's a labor of love because this is very, very in-depth and very extremely professional looking.
And when I got my first copy, I was like, wow. And then my husband even looked at it and said, okay, now I understand why this took you so long to get done.
Yeah.
My vision for this was for it to essentially be like an encyclopedia or a reference book. And I also wanted them to look nice, so you could even, you know, put them on display. But that's how I would suggest people use the book. My vision was for it to become the industry standard and used in fashion institutes like FIT or design schools, because a lot of the design schools, there are no textbooks for pet fashion. And so that was kind of my vision, was to provide tools to help people become very successful in the pet fashion industry. And this was kind of like the really big one for me to get this accomplished.
Well, I have to tell you, I could see this becoming, you know, a basic for anyone looking to do fashion design, or if you, the content is extremely educational and it's extremely visual, which I think that people who have that creative side of their mind that they want to do something with dogs and understand the dog breeds, it's extremely visual. You have them in two different poses. So you get them in a sitting pose and a standing pose, which I think is extremely ingenious, because you know what? A lot of times you only get the standing pose and nobody knows what they look like when they're sitting down. So you have, you know, how they could use it. If you wanted to take the picture, you know, I'm looking at a Papillon right now. So you take the picture, you actually have the materials to consider, some things to remember, drawing program, the markers. You kind of give the reader, you lay it out exactly what to do.
I do, and I purposefully did that because I know not everybody can go to New York and go into a program at FIT. The majority of people that I meet in the pet fashion industry, you know, they started in the basement, in their basement sewing mm-hmm. room, designing for their dogs, and then all of a sudden they've got a business. And then someone comes up and says, well, I have an Italian Greyhound, but they've been designing for pugs. And they're structurally, the dogs are very different from each other. Mm-hmm. So I wanted this to be a resource for someone like that also, and go into the detail of helping them get that done and help them get their designs done in the best quality manner.
Well, and you also have with that the companion coloring books. Can you just tell us a little bit? And I'm a huge fan of your coloring books. They're my little zen moment, but these are even like a step above. I mean, this is like it actually has the animals in it. You know, it's beautiful the way it's done.
Those are done for people that really want to dive even more into mm-hmm. doing the illustrations. A lot of people start out by tracing and then you figuring out how they work best doing their colorization techniques. And that's why I did the coloring companion books, because it's one of those things that the design consideration books would probably have been too big if I included all of that in those also. And so I did the coloring companion books so they can practice those techniques.
How many books are there going to be, the different breeds?
There are seven encyclopedias and then seven coloring companion books with them. So to have the whole set, it would be 14 books total.
That's awesome. And again, someone who's either looking to start out, like you said, not all of us can go to FIT and get that certification. So I'm looking at this and it's great for someone who is looking to do that, you know, take it to that next level, whether they're going to design clothes, design accessories, or they just want to learn a little more about the animals, themselves. This is like, I'm thinking it's going to be a staple in the pet fashion industry, as well as I think the pets, because people are going to want to know about the pets and even for themselves what to do. I mean, I loved it. It's beautifully done, very professional. And the coloring book really was a great little kind of like graphic, so that if you want to use it for tracing or you want to, you know, use it as a workbook, that's perfect. Not to be confused with your dollar books, which I use for Zen therapy. And if you want to talk, let's let the listeners know about your dollar books and also what you have coming up, because you have like another book that just came out, which I think is absolutely adorable.
Well, the dollar books are a series of coloring books that combine affirmations on one page, and then on the next page is a mandala that includes a different animal. So like the pug dollar has pugs in the mandala, the cat dollar has cats, and so on and so forth. And I did that because I know that a lot of people use coloring as therapy. It's one of those things that, you know, I have crayons, even though I'm, you know,
I'm with you.
Of a certain age.
I'm with you.
And it's one of those things that really, you know, is a good meditation kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was the purpose behind those. And the next book I have coming out, it's Dinky Inky the Stinky Pug.
I love this. And the little pug has superpowers.
Yes, of being able to clear a room, and I'm sure everyone can guess how.
I think that's so cute. And the pup looks so cute. I mean, it's a beautiful black little pug, and you're going to have to get the book and watch them, watch the little magic powers there. I love it.
Yeah. I had fun with it. It was the first one that I've written. It's from her perspective, because she thinks it's funny that she can have use the superpower. And I wrote it more in a poetic style, like a fun poem. So
it's cute.
I just totally had fun with it.
Well, you could tell, and it came out. And, you know, when you put, like, the love and the passion, all that in, it tends to come out to the reader so that they get it. And I always get that with your book. So anything else you have coming up on the horizon?
Right now, I'm just focusing on racing season.
And that's a busy thing. I mean, because Zachary is like right at the top of his game.
Yes. He has a new team, a new crew chief and spotter, and a new car this year. And he's doing great. We're very, very proud of him. And, you know, don't be surprised if, you know, I ask you to come to the Daytona International Speedway.
I told you, I want him to remember me when, because he was one of my guests, and I'm so proud of him. And of course, the Pit Pet Fashionista, well, we're going to have to keep our eyes on her, as well as her racer boy there, but she's the fashion star there, Miss Bella. I want to thank you, Lauren, for coming back and coming on our shows. We always love to, you know, feature your books, and I do believe your children's books I absolutely adore, and I think that the Dog Breed Pet Fashion Encyclopedia, the Illustration Encyclopedia, is going to become a staple in a lot of us who are interested in the pet fashion industry, and just a lot of us who are interested in pets. So there's a lot of information in there that's good just for the pet lover as well as those who want to be in the industry. So I thank you so much again for being our guest, and all the wonderful things you do in the pet fashion industry and in children's books. And also, you know what? When I look up pet fashion, I see your name everywhere. So you are the pet fashionista. And I want to thank you so much. And also, where can the listeners go to find out more about where to get your books, know more about you, Zachary, and of course, Dr. Brad. So I know that you guys have a lot going on. So
they can go to petfashionguild.com or lespaulpress.com. And if they're interested in Zachary's racing, they can go to zacharytinkle.com.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And I know you're busy. You're always on the run. You've got so much going on with Zachary and everything else you got going on in your life. So thank you for being a guest with us today. We totally love it. And we can't wait to talk to you again.
So thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be back in just a minute. Coming up, a national program bringing animals from crisis to care.
Stay with us.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Red Rover is bringing animals and their people from crisis to care, helping animals rescued from disasters or neglect, also domestic violence victims seeking safety with their pets and animals with life-threatening illnesses, raising innovative solutions to prevent animal cruelty. And today, we welcome back to the Doggy Diva Show, Nicole Forsythe, the president and CEO of Red Rover, to tell us all about this remarkable organization. Hey, Nicole, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, for those listeners who may not be familiar with Red Rover, could you tell us about the Red Rover programs that you have to offer and a little bit about Red Rover?
Sure. Sometimes people describe us as the American Red Cross for animals because we are really well known for helping a community care for a large number of animals when they've been displaced by a natural disaster or a criminal cruelty case. And we have volunteers all over the country that come and help shelter those animals and take care of them while either their people have been evacuated from a natural disaster or until the community and the law enforcement knows what they're going to do with those animals who've been rescued from a cruelty situation. Mm-hmm. So that's something we've been really well known for over 30 years. But we also provide emergency veterinary care, so when people are stuck with an emergency bill and they weren't expecting and they're low income and they don't know where they're going to turn to, they'll turn to us for some financial assistance as well as assistance with other resources in making sure their animals get the care that they need in an emergency. And part of that program, we also help domestic violence victims escape their abusive situations with their pets, which is something has been growing a lot lately. And then although we're there to help animals and people when they're in crisis, we also want to prevent neglect and cruelty in the first place by an education program where we train teachers and volunteers to work with children to develop skills they need for empathy for both people and animals.
Now, you had a recent major partnership announcement that was televised nationwide. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yes. We're so happy that Purina chose to work with us, recognizing our leadership in this area of domestic violence and pets, and they are providing over $500,000 over the next 4 years to help with these creating, it's a grant program that helps domestic violence shelters house pets on site or develop really robust programs to care for the pets of these domestic violence survivors who have left their abusive situations, to make sure they don't go back because the pets are being threatened, and also to make sure the pets are not victims of the abuse themselves, which often they are.
And it's so important because I think that sometimes people don't even think of that, and there's that aspect of it that if someone wants to leave a situation that's a potentially violent situation, you don't want to leave your pet at home, just like you wouldn't want to leave your children at home. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave your pet at home because if the violence is there, it's there. Well, and besides giving grants, I hear that you sometimes help pet-friendly housing and domestic violence shelters, and we tape in Florida, and you were recently in Florida.
Yes, we actually we've done a few of these now, and they're a really great way to combine a lot of our programs together. So we have also worked with Safe Haven, which is a program under greatergood.org, which has been another fantastic partner of ours. And they have experts in the construction area, how do you build projects. They've done previous work under this organization called Rescue Rebuild, where they've helped animal shelters do various builds that they needed to do to help the animals. And so they're now looking at how they can help these domestic violence shelters. So we have partnered with them, and we were recently in Tallahassee, Florida, actually, to help Refuge House. And so our Red Rover Responders volunteers who are trained with these natural disaster responses, they actually got sent to the domestic violence shelter to help build what this particular shelter, domestic violence shelter, needed. So it was a pretty neat partnership, and our volunteers just love it. Not only do they get to learn new skills, but they really feel like they're doing something really meaningful for both people and animals that are in these horrible situations.
How can we learn more about the Purple Leash Project?
Yeah, so what we have done, that what we are doing with Purina, goes even well and beyond the money that they're providing. We are actually calling the whole project the Purple Leash Project, and that is to, so we're not just providing them money, or, you know, they're not providing the funding. They're also providing a way for us to leverage the partnership to increase awareness about this as an issue. Just how you're mentioning, a lot of people don't even think about this mm-hmm. as an issue. Even the domestic violence, you know, victims themselves, when they're in these situations, may not realize how much the pet is being used, you know, as a manipulative tool. So when they leave, they may not have been anticipating that the person would say, well, I'm not going to feed your pet, or I'm going to bring them to the shelter. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to, you know, hurt them. And so they go back. And so it's really important for us to increase awareness about the prevalence of domestic violence, the way the pets are used as tools in this abuse, and then to help people know what they're going to do, you know, help them plan an escape plan. We have a website called safeplaceforpets.org, and we're going to really be increasing awareness towards that website, so people know where they can go to find out what resources are in their community to help with pets. And Purina is just really helping. We did a video to increase awareness that aired at the Westminster Dog Show. So that was a really exciting way to kind of announce the partnership and really build awareness, because a lot of people were watching that dog show.
You have a wonderful, wonderful book. It's you released your third children's empathy app in the Restricted Adventures of Raja series. Can you tell us what motivated you to create an empathy app and the game series?
Sure. So, you know, I used to be a school teacher, so reaching kids early on to kind of mm-hmm. think long term and prevent a lot of neglect and abuse has always been something really, really passionate, you know, very, very passionate area of mine. So when we developed the Red River Readers program a long time ago, we had these great storybooks, you know, the picture books, to really attract the attention of children and captivate them about animals. And also because they're picture books, they show accurate animal behavior, which was hard to find books that really, you know, show that behavior mm-hmm. accurately. Because the first step to empathy is being able to understand, you know, recognize emotional states. So if kids don't know animal behavior, they really can't have empathy for animals. So part of the program really is based on this, having illustrated books. But of course, picture books attract a little bit more of a younger audience. So we wanted to make sure that kids who maybe were reluctant readers or getting a little bit older also had a way to get in, get this program and the way it works. And so we developed a graphic novel that is in an app. And what's cool about the app is that no matter whether someone has been trained, you know, they don't have to be a trained teacher or an educator to use the app, because the program, the methodology of what we do in the program is built right into the app. So, and what we really try to do with our program and this app is encourage adults to talk to children in ways that really get to how they think about animals and to sort of challenge that thinking. But it's mostly building self-awareness. So when you look at an illustrated picture of a dog that looks scared, you know, how can you tell that dog is scared? You know, why is that dog mm-hmm. scared? How do you feel when you're scared? How would you feel in that situation? So they're just questions which seem kind of simple on the outside, but they have to be asked in a way that genuinely is curious about how the kid really is feeling. So it's almost like therapy, you know, the mm-hmm. app is kind
Absolutely.
Of like programming people to be therapists with the children they work with. because it's about, you know, getting, eliciting an authentic response from them and building that awareness of how they feel and how they think animals feel. And that's the foundation for empathy.
And I think that that's so wonderful that you're doing that, because having been in rescue for so many years, we worked with a number of schools. And at that young age, you know, even before the age of 10 is when to develop an awareness. So
yeah.
What you've done is so important for the children out there and also for the parents and the adults that work with them, because it really helps them and they're our future. And I think what you did there is absolutely phenomenal. Can you tell us a little bit about your Red Rover Responders program and what types of crises you respond to and work you do? Because you guys are all over the country and you really impact in such a positive way.
Yeah, and it's amazing too to think about what we've been doing recently. So right now, as I speak, we're in Oklahoma helping with flooding. You know, that's just another kind of disaster response that we've helped with. Last year, we were helping with the fires, the campfires that were pretty close to us. So fire responses are becoming more and more common, unfortunately. But then we also help with this organization called RAM, Remote Area Medical, and they're based in Tennessee. And we help them with this unique medical clinic where we're encouraging people to get their animals cared for medically while they're getting their medical care. So it's just a nice partnership to increase both, you know, the human medical response and compliance with vaccinations and things like that, and also the animal care that's needed. So it's kind of a way of looking at the encouraging people to think of their animals as family, you know, pets are family, yeah. And to ensure and to think of that health is like a very holistic thing. It's, you know, community health, family health, animals are all part of that.
It is, and it's so wonderful the way you bring it all together and you make that available for them. Now I'm speaking as a Floridian. Hurricane season is upon us. Can you tell us and share with the listeners for pet parents who are out there what they can do better to prepare for these national disasters? I mean, the natural disasters are happening all over the country. My season started here, so I know that I have my kit ready. But for those listeners who may want to be better prepared, could you share some tips with us?
Sure. Yeah, the most important part is to have the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, number one, don't leave your pets behind. You know, even if you think things are going to be fine and you're kind of grumbling about having to evacuate, just bring your pets. You never want to risk that because it may be impossible to get back or really hard to get back. And then it also slows down the entire response for the emergency personnel. So take your pets, number one. But then, you know, for planning purposes, have that plan in place. So whether it's hotels in the area that accept pets, friends and family that are outside of the disaster zone, making sure they're okay with you bringing pets, you know, having the means to bring them. So if you've got horses, you know, do you have enough trailers to move horses? If you've got many dogs, do you have enough crates to safely house them all? You may have to keep your animals in crates during their temporary sheltering or whatever you're ending up, you know, having where you bring them, whether it's a hotel or an evacuation center, if they allow pets, or, you know, regardless of where you need to go, you're probably going to need to have them safely contained, and that's going to be best for the pets too. So having crates and, you know, ways you're going to transport your animals and knowing ahead of time, you know, who's okay with you bringing animals with you. And then a lot of it is just making sure you've got ways to identify them in case you do get separated. So microchipping animals, you know, having photos of your animals on your phone or somewhere on your person, making sure if they have any special medical needs, you've got their medication, you know, got extra supply of some things that are pretty unique to your pets. Those are the number one tips.
Well, and those are all very important and very helpful, because sometimes once the disaster hits, you don't want to be in a state of, oh my gosh, what do I do? You want to already have your plan in place and also to be aware of the pet-friendly shelters, of the hotels that allow pets, if you are in an evacuation zone or for any reason you have to, plus all of the other basic tips you gave. It's so helpful because you're right. The core is have your plan in place and never leave your pets behind.
Right. And the other thing we've done, we increasingly have been doing over the last couple of years, when there is a natural disaster, we are really quickly gathering all of the resources for pets that start to come up. You know, all the different shelters that are accepting pets, maybe particular funding opportunities, like everything that we hear about, we start to share in a resource list, and we get on social media and we start sharing that like crazy, and we will use the hashtags for whatever the disaster is. So that's another great way that people can help if they're outside the evacuation zone or they're, you know, it's in their state, but they're not immediately affected. Getting onto our social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, all of that, and share our resource list is a really great way to help out during it.
Now, does Red Rover have any current volunteer or training opportunities available?
Best way to find out if we've got stuff going on is to go to our website, redrover.org, and we actually have a section that's called Workshops and Events, and it's a really great way to see if something's coming up near you. We've got a Red Rover Responders class coming up in Pennsylvania. We've got one coming up in Jackson, Mississippi, and we also have one in Nashville, Tennessee. So depending on where people are and whether they're willing to travel, those are some great things coming up soon.
And it's very important that people understand that this is a volunteer, that this isn't an organization that needs the help of us out here. So where could people go to learn more, whether it be to contribute monetarily, to contribute to a wish list, volunteers, anything like that? Where would be the best place for them to go?
Yeah, redrover.org. Becoming a monthly donor is one of the best ways to support us in an ongoing, sustainable way. You get less paper, you get less mail, and it just is something you just sign up for whatever amount you can afford a month, and it goes to help so many programs where animals are in crisis. So that's a fantastic way to support us. And there's also some other volunteer opportunities. If people go to the website, and there's a little section called Join Us, and there's a place that says volunteer, and it has the Red Rover Responders volunteer program. But at the bottom, it also has some other ways people can help. We have some great domestic violence resources. So if people wanted to help build awareness about the Purple Leash Project, eventually there will be purple leashes. So that's just a little bit of a tease. We actually have them now. We use for awareness building, but we're hoping they will be available for public purchase. To, again, build awareness, because there's awareness as part of the leash. And the leash is really a symbol of, you know, walking away from a situation and that connection we have with pets. Of course, we have cat collars, too, so it's not just a dog thing. but purple leash was the word that we came up with to describe the domestic violence work that we're trying to do. So there's some other ways people can help on that website, too.
Well, that's wonderful, and it's so, I follow what you all do because you do so much. You impact in so many different ways, and especially with the domestic violence a lot, you bring some awareness. You bring awareness that I think people aren't even conscious of, so it's very important. You know, I would advise all of the listeners now, go to redrover.org to learn more. And Nicole, I want to thank you for coming back and being our guest today. You always have such great information for us, and thank you and everyone at Red Rover for everything you're doing to benefit homeless, injured, abused animals, and the people who love them. So I thank you so much, and I thank you for being our guest. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.